Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready for the weekend. Weekend kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. It is Thursday, September 25th. Steve Geller along with Mike Dottiglia hanging out with you till 7 p.m. Then we got week four of NFL action starting up, coming up on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Plus right here in the game, Bar and Grill, you can come check out the game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks this evening. Should be an interesting NFC West matchup. Two teams we faced already, too, so we know a little bit about them.
Seattle looked damn good to me. That's all I can tell you.
We'll see if they have that much success on special teams against the Cards.
Well, they can't have any more than what they had against the Saints. Come on, Steve. You're really stretching the rubber band on that one. But, you know, Seattle looks to be a team that I know they lost the first game to San Francisco. That was a tough, tough game. Ended up Brock Purdy with a great throw at the end to win it for him. But they look like a team that has gotten better, and now they're starting to get healthy. Devin Weatherspoon is back.
Yeah.
Arguably the best player Seattle had. He hasn't played all year long. And then you got Charbonnet, you know, with Zach. He's coming back. He didn't play against the Saints.
Right.
And I think Julian Love is back, too, their defensive back safety. So, Steve, Arizona's catching it. And, man, I saw their injury list is pretty long. For the Cardinals.
Looking here for the Cards, too. Just a 1.5-point favorite at home. Oh, no, they're getting 1.5. I'm sorry, at home.
Yeah. I could tell you where I would pick. I would pick Seattle, but in that. And I know Arizona's played well at home. They've always been a team that has played well early in the season. How they lost last week to San Francisco.
Right.
Well, you had them at the end. And, you know, just kind of let them off the hook and a crazy deal. They get a safety, and then 1, 2, 3.
There was a wild week in week three.
Crazy stuff on special teams. But, you know, it happens. I remember Bobby April making the comments that the stuff on special teams, a lot of the stuff that happens normally real early and real late. You know why? Injuries. He says in between you sort of get it straight. But
right.
He said the crazy stuff is normally real early. And then real late, because that special teams guy now, late, he becomes an active player. You know, he's a backup. But now, hey, kid, get in there. You got to start. Oh, okay.
Get on out there.
And so they got another guy that's doing the special teams part of it. So we'll see tonight what happens. But, man, Seattle was just impressive last week against the Saints. And, again, it's Arizona, to me, is a strange team to gauge because they got talent. They got talent. It's just they've not been able to piece it together.
I think the inconsistency of Kyler Murray definitely has a lot to do with it.
Inconsistent on defense, too. you let Mac Jones go all the way downfield at the end of the game. What? Okay, he ain't Joe Montana.
He looked like it to us, though, too.
You know, come on. But, man, you know, and then they got a strange thing going on with their first-round pick, too, with Walter Nolan. He did not play, did not practice one snap in training camp. Had a pulled calf muscle.
Yeah, before, we know about that calf.
He missed all of it. All that, all preseason. So they put him on that, you know, that IR for 4 weeks. We'll see how quickly they get him back. All I know is last time when LSU played Ole Miss, Walter Nolan was more in the backfield than Garrett Nussmeier. Every play. They tried to double team him, chip him, everything. I mean, he was a force. He showed what everybody thought he was coming out of high school. And that's why he was a first-team All-American last year, too. Man, he pieced it together. But, man, that's a long time for a calf injury. When you're talking about a couple of months for a calf injury. So with the Chase Young deal,
that's right. Great segue into that, right?
It's one of them things. Oh, he'll be out a little while. How
What's
long's
a little,
little while?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to define that little while.
Well, it looks like little while is going to be at least 4 weeks because once again, Mike, at the Saints injury report coming out today for the second straight day, he hasn't practiced dealing with what do you know that calf issue. Also, not practicing Dylan Radin's toe injury for him. That wasn't a surprise to me at all, considering we were here talking about the injury report last week, and boom, they just had Radin's out for
on a Thursday report,
and I was like,
boom,
what?
You're out of here.
They didn't even wait till Friday.
No, and at least Trevor Penning's practicing.
Yeah.
But my thing is all of a sudden he's going to turn into a star player in this league? We saw him in training camp. We saw him in preseason, a couple of plays. He got beat.
Yep.
All this stuff about, oh, I'm right, they moved him inside. He's an inside player. The same technical problems that he had at tackle, he's got at guard. Okay? Well, that's going to follow him. It's not all of a sudden going to get better for Trevor Penning because they kicked him inside to guard. Does it work for some guys? Yes.
Will it work for Penning? To be determined.
Still pass protection. Watch what happens with him.
Right.
He's awkward in pass protection. He gets pushed around. Is he a good run blocker? Yeah. He's not a great run blocker. But, man, you watch him in pass protection, he's all off balance all the time. And, come on, you can't have that inside pressure. That's the worst part about getting pressure. If you Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, Josh Allen, you name them. You don't want to see that guy right up the chute come at you.
Some positive news, too, for the O-line. Taliese Fuaga was limited yesterday as he's still dealing with the knee back issue, which we've talked about. We'll probably see that constantly
every
throughout
week.
The season. He was a full go at practice today. So
that's good news.
The one upgrade for the Saints O-line that looks like it will have its starters out there for this matchup in Buffalo.
We'll see. We'll see. Now, listen, the one thing with the Bills – and Bob and I talked about this yesterday. Man, they can't stop a cold. They're giving up chunks and chunks. You talk about the Dolphins, who aren't a great rushing team. They rush for over 130 yards, average 5 yards a pop against the Bills. The Bills look like they were half asleep against the Dolphins. Really did. I think they figured, man, we got this game. Had Tua not thrown that late interception, he didn't even see the guy, that linebacker cut,
right?
You know, kind of cut right in front of his receiver, and he threw it right to him. But they were in there, into the fourth quarter. But their ability to run the ball on offense is impressive. What Joe Brady has set up with James Cook, and certainly Josh Allen is who he is. They don't have a number one real receiver, one star receiver. But, man, they distributed all across the board, got three really good tight ends. And now, Steve, I think because of the influx of a lot of tight ends over the last couple drafts, you see more and more teams doing that, two tight end sets. And it's not for blocking. Hey, kid, get out there and catch the ball. You a 6'4", 6'5", guy. Okay, how you going to match up in the secondary?
Yeah.
Unless you're going up against Pickett at LSU. I mean, nobody's that size in the secondary. If you're looking at a corner, even Kyle Hamilton's got good size for safety, but there's very few guys like that. So, man, the Saints got their hands full with a team that they tsunami you on offense. They really do.
It just seems that everything that the Bills do well,
the Saints don't.
The Saints defense doesn't. You know, mobile quarterback, big physical targets. The run game has been better this year, at least. But James Cook is definitely a scary force, too, that he's living up to his contract right now.
He sure is. And, you know, when we talked to Ryan Nielsen, who's now on the staff with the Bills.
A lot of former black and gold influence over there.
You know, I told him, what's your biggest concern? And he was like, my secondary. And they've been decent in the secondary. I think because it masks a little bit maybe some of the issues they have in the secondary. Teams run the ball on them. Look what the Ravens did against them.
Oh.
I mean, you know, Derrick Henry did fumble late in that game, but, man, Henry, it was like two-hand touch.
Yeah.
You're not bringing me down in the open field. And, it took Josh to go into the telephone booth as Superman to win that game against the Ravens. And no matter how you win it, you win it. But that would be a big concern for me, watching them play on defense for the Bills. And I think they're a fantastic football team, especially on offense. They have talent on defense, but they look to be sometimes out of the wrong gap. You know, like you're supposed to have gap integrity, and you out of it for whatever reason. And now we'll see what happens if Ed Oliver will play in this game.
It's not looking good for him.
Ed's an undersized defensive lineman, and he can haul tail.
Yeah.
His ability to get off that snap into the backfield, Ed Oliver does it really, really good, and he's a really good interior pass rusher.
The biggest thing, too, with that Buffalo offense that's been lethal with Josh Allen, MVP of the league, leading the way, you definitely can't get into a shootout with this squad. There's no way you can keep up with that firepower.
No, the Saints won't.
No.
Saints can't do that.
Exactly.
You know, and so if they jump on you early, you got issues.
It's going to be like last week.
It might well be. And, you know, and Josh is one of those guys that improv a lot. You know,
It's
a certain play, and, but I've seen so-and-so open a little bit farther downfield. And the way the Saints are playing off receivers, man, it gives that big cushion that a guy like Allen's going to take full advantage of. You know what? You got to take chances against him. You got to blitz him. Okay, you're going to get burned one way or another. Just as soon give it a shot. And more this game maybe than the others because of who he is.
You know, Mike, our pressure numbers are god-awful, though.
And if Young not playing, that doesn't help the situation off at all. That's why this point spread has basically stayed at 16.5.
We're going to talk to Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion, Saints pregame and postgame host this hour about that black and gold matchup with the Bills at 5:10. Evie Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk. Oh, yeah, we got a big top 13 matchup. Ole Miss, LSU Saturday.
Well, I know Evie's happy this time. I don't know how she'll be happy Saturday, but she's happy this time of the year.
We'll also talk to you in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
He's not happy.
Falcons beat writer. Why are we talking to him? Well, we'll wallow in some of the TL's misery right now because, boy, are things a mess over there.
You fired a receivers coach because your play calling's lousy? Okay. Ike Hilliard didn't call the plays for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach Robinson did. This sounds to me like...
And now you got the quarterback shuffle going on,
yeah,
too.
Like somebody above said, hey, you gotta get them receivers more involved. I blame that on Ike. Hey, and listen, I'm going to take up for Ike. Ike's a guy from on the bayou. Grew up on Patterson, Louisiana, and he left to go to Florida. But, man, he was a hell of a player at Florida in the NFL. He knows how to coach receivers. To me, that's a lot more wrong in Atlanta than the receivers coach messing things up.
Shuffling on out to break here at the Treasure Chest Casino for weekend kickoff. We shall return with even more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Here's Kane in the pocket. It's moving inside the five, and it is going to be covered by the Saints for a touchdown. Oh, baby. What a moment. Just listen to this crowd.
Yes, indeed. Back here on weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. That was 19 years ago today, folks. Jim Henderson, Hokey Gaijon on the call, the reopening of the Superdome, and man, oh man, that play is such an iconic moment in Saints history against the Atlanta Falcons, too. What do you know?
On that Monday night, to open it back up to see it, you know, Gleason makes that play, Curtis DeLoach comes up with the fumble.
You can feel just that fan base unleashing all the frustrations and just emotions out there.
It's the loudest I've ever heard the dome. Ever heard it. People ask me, other than that, it was the NFC Championship game.
Hartley kick.
The Hartley kick was really, really loud, but it was in the first quarter, Saints-Rams. The Saints came up with a big turnover, and man, it almost felt like everything was sort of moving under you. We were really crammed in that press box that day. It was really tight. But then they had pieces of cement that had come from the top that was falling onto the floor. Man, it was loud that day. We didn't like the way it ended with that Nola no call. But, Gleason's block and, you know, Curtis DeLoach coming up with the block punt. And that was something special. You always remember that. That, to me, is the loudest I have ever heard the dome for a Saints game.
It was truly rocking in there. When they say, you know, the electric atmosphere, that's the NFC Championship and, yeah, the Gleason punt makes me think of that.
Yeah, the NFC Championship game was fun now because, man, that had a lot of twists and turns.
That was my first year, Mike, covering the Saints.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Then, damn. You gave
I was spurled.
You gave him a little bit of luck, but then what's happened the last couple of years? They're going to have to get your butt back on the sideline.
No, but, Mike, no, unfortunately, then my first year on the sideline was the no call.
Oh, well, then, stay where you at.
Yeah, I was all dancing, think I'm going to the Super Bowl, and that didn't happen.
But then stay where you at. Yeah, you think about it, man, because Hartley – because the way the game had went, you know, Minnesota, they had a couple chances, and Brett did what he normally does, throw across his body.
I get goosebumps thinking about it, and, man. That was it was the best game I've attended.
And Tracy Porter cuts it, makes the interception, and then you get that chance, and Hartley kicks it, and it was right down, you know, right down Broadway. It was right down the middle.
That moment, too, you know, we were in, like, the media holding pen waiting for the post game to get to the podium and the locker room stuff. And when that field goal went through, just the contingent of media, you're supposed to be impartial, not cheering. And even the media folks, everyone erupted with joy because, holy cow, the Saints are going to the Super Bowl, folks.
And the crazy part about it is, you know, this is sort of later in the day now. It's not early. It's later in the day, man. It was Bobby's emotion. He always talks about it too, man. He was crying like a baby.
I remember on the Spanish radio broadcast, he was bawling.
Marco got me to do it first, and he was like, get Bobby to come. And so I told him, I said, come see. And he was just wiping his eyes. And I said, listen, they want you to do something on the Spanish radio. He said, man, I can't speak Spanish. I said, you can't speak English too, but it's okay. Just get on there and tell them what you saw. And he broke down. I mean, broke down talking about it. And so
awesome
the emotions
day.
Of yep. that day is there. And I can remember Hokie coming out, and he came and gave me a big hug. He said, well, we made it. It's almost there. You say your boy would have been happy. He would either had to put the dress on.
Yeah, right.
So Hebert had to put the dress on.
19 years ago today, folks, the reopening of the Superdome, that Steve Gleason block punt, Saints making their trip to the Super Bowl in 2009 as well. We were talking about the Super Bowl. Guy that knows about that, linebacker Scott Shanley. He'll be joining us, breaking things down. Buffalo versus Saints coming up this weekend. Be back with more at the Treasure Chest Casino weekend kickoff here on WWL right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike and Steve here on the Treasure Chest Casino weekend kickoff edition as we're inside the Game Barter and Grill. Counting down to Thursday night football this evening, Seattle at Arizona. Big NFC West matchup going to be starting week four action. But we got on the line right now with us the Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame and postgame analyst Scott Shanley joining us here. And we played the highlight going into last segment, Scott. 19 years ago today, believe it or not, was the reopening of the Superdome and that faithful block punt against the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football. Hard to believe, man, 19 years have gone by that fast.
And Scott had just got here.
Right,
Scott
exactly.
Had been here, what, about a month, Scott?
Yeah. I just rolled into Jackson, Mississippi, and I was probably just looking for homes at that time. Gleason's blocking punts, getting statues outside the dome, and I'm looking for homes. I just got there.
Scott, in your time playing, would you have somebody to compare Josh Allen to?
You know, when I watch Josh, there was a thing on Twitter a couple months ago, and they, you know, back in the Pro Bowl days, they used to have the guys race and they had the quarterback competitions. And I was watching, you know, they used to have the golf carts with the moving targets and the quarterbacks throwing the ball. And I watched Dan Marino rip the ball. I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks just like Josh Allen. Same throwing motion, same rocket arm. So I think there's a lot of similarities I see with Dan Marino and Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is playing at a level right now that it's hard. I think it'd be hard for a lot of GMs not to call him the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's just spectacular. When you look at just the team around him, I think they have good players. I do. I think they have good coaches. You take Josh Allen off that team wins six games. I just think he is unreal.
When you watch their defense, Scott, it's sort of leaky, and we did the Louisiana line camp, and Ryan Nielsen, who was with the Saints, he was their former defensive line coach. Now, I think he's a defensive assistant. I know he works with the linebackers and the defensive line. I asked him, what were you most concerned about? And he brought up to me immediately, I'm concerned about the secondary. He said, because we've got a lot of new faces there. We used our first-round pick on a corner, young man from Kentucky. Trey White's coming back, but he said, you know, Trey's had a series of injuries. But teams have gashed the Bills running the ball. Even the Dolphins, come on, they're no great shakes running the ball by any stretch of the imagination. They average 5.2 yards a carry. I think the Bills are a tsunami team on offense. They hit you, and they hit you so hard, and they jump on you quick. But their defense is not what I would say a top-flight defense. They're really carried by Josh Allen, James Cook. They got great tight ends. Their offensive line's really good and a solid core of receivers.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment completely. And I've always kind of laughed the last few years when everybody says, Josh Allen can't beat Mahomes. He can't beat so-and-so in the playoffs. And I'm sitting there saying, no, just – Josh Allen also doesn't have the defense that some of these other teams do. I think defensively there's a lot to be desired if you're a Bills fan. And like you said, you just kind of hope that Josh and the offense play so well that the defense doesn't really have to be a big factor in the game. They're okay if, like you said, the offense can get up 14 points and now they can just worry about playing cover two every play. But I think the Saints, you know, being 15, 16-point underdogs, I think they have a great chance to go up to Buffalo, control the tempo of the game. And, you know, you certainly cannot do what you did last week on the road where you don't play well in the special teams. You have tons of penalties. If you can just clean up those two things, I think you'll be able to run the ball on Buffalo enough. But the defense is going to have to find a way to get a couple takeaways because you're not going to be able to match, you know, points for points with that offense because they're obviously the more talented offense.
Scott, is that the biggest key for this game, the run game for the black and gold? Alvin Kamara, Kendra Miller, trying to keep Josh Allen and that Bills offense off the field and just, you know, long sustained drives and controlling the clock.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, part a little bit of frustrating watching the Saints this year, you know, when you look at it, it felt like they probably could have run the ball outside of the Seattle game. The Seattle game got away from them. They had to drop back and throw the ball 40 times. But, you know, Arizona, you know, 45 – pass attempts by Spencer, probably could have ran the ball more in that game because it was never really out of control. And then the 49ers game, when they commit to run the football, they run the ball effectively. I think Alvin's looked really good. I think Kendra with him is a good two-headed monster, and the offensive line is getting healthier. I think the success of this offense can really be had by sticking with the run and committing to the running game. And the running game just helps your defense that much more because I think you're starting to see some more weaknesses on this Saints defense. I think the running game can really be the best thing that this team does all year.
Scott, one of the things on defense, and I told this to Bob, not only do they not have an interception, it doesn't look like they've come close to coming up with an interception. There's so much gap between the receiver and the defensive backs. And you give a guy like Allen that little bit of opening, man, he's going to pick you apart. You got to be able to play stickier coverage up against the Bills. But not getting the turnovers, you know, you did get one with a fumble recovery. But, man, that to me in football is sometimes overlooked on that giveaway-takeaway ratio. It plays such a big part in winning and losing a game that you got to be able to force turnovers.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you watch high school games or college games, and some of these offenses are getting 90 plays a game, 100 plays a game. That doesn't happen in the NFL. The NFL, you're only getting so many shots at this football. The games move fast. And if you get a takeaway or two here or there and add some points, you're giving yourself a tremendous advantage to winning a football game. And I think that really is the key for the Saints defense is they got to find a way to be more disruptive, more ball disruption. They're near the bottom of the league in pressure rate. I've always just kind of lived, and maybe probably because I grew up in the Greg Williams mindset and the Dennis Allen mindset after that, is we're going to play man, we're going to get in your face, and we're going to blitz. And we're going to get the ball to come out so fast that you don't have to cover very long. Now, there's downsides to that. You miss a tackle, it's a house call. You don't play it right in coverage, it's feast or famine sometimes. But for me, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die going down bringing the house. And I think the Saints defense has to be more aggressive with that mindset and bring more pressure.
Scott, I imagine you had a few times, or at least once, that you played at Buffalo. Curious your thoughts on that atmosphere there. I know it's the
ain't gonna be cold this year.
No, not that. And then also the last season of that other stadium, the other one being built right next door.
Scott, here's the crazy thing. You know the Bills-Saints game is a hot ticket. You know why? The Bills rarely play at 12 noon Central or 1 Eastern. They, you know, because when you're a really good team like Buffalo, they got you at, 2:30 in the afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursdays. So it's a rare deal that they play in Buffalo and at noontime. And so it's become a hot ticket in Buffalo to get.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think every game should be a hot ticket for this Buffalo team because they were my preseason pick to be in the Super Bowl. I like them and the Ravens to come out of the AFC. And but yeah, I think it's all lined up there for them to have a special year and exit this stadium. I know there's been a lot of heartbreak in Buffalo with 4 Super Bowl losses, been close the last few years and lost to Mahomes and not got it quite done. So they have an opportunity, and I think their opportunity is this. It's getting the number one seed, making everything go through Buffalo. Because, yes, right now, perfect chance. Nobody wants to go up there in January. And I think with Kansas City being a little bit down, the AFC West being a tough division, they're going to knock each other around a little bit. I think Buffalo, you want to go to the Super Bowl, you want to accomplish everything, and you want to wrap this thing up right with that stadium in the last year, you got to get the number one seed.
It was crazy is what would happen, it comes down to the end, Chargers and Buffalo for home field advantage. You talk about a dichotomy of playing in L.A., you know, in late January or playing in Buffalo in late January. You talk about a difference. Yeah. That's a big difference.
Absolutely it is, and I'll tell you what, if it comes down to that, and I don't dispute it, it could come down to that. The Chargers are a really good team. What's crazy, after this week, the Ravens and the Chiefs play, Mahomes or Lamar is going to be 1-3. That's unheard of. So that's why I say it's a great opportunity, a great time to be try to get that number one seed if you're Buffalo or the Chargers. But, heck, you know what? Buffalo, they're going to have home field advantage either way. If they go out to L.A., they'll probably bring all the crowd noise anyway, so they're just going to have nicer weather to do it in L.A.
Scott, what's been your impression of the rest of the NFC South? Obviously, Tampa Bay looks to be in solid control of that spot in first place, being 3-0. But right now, the Saints, you know, trailing the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons, but both of those franchises have been having their troubles, too.
Two words, Baker Mayfield. Right. Man, that sucker can play, dude. Man, he can play.
Yeah. You look at, you know, obviously the Saints signed Derek Carr and Tampa went out and got Baker, and Baker's been unreal for them. He's been a true franchise quarterback, and rarely do you ever go out and find somebody in free agency and just kind of pick over and off the trash heap and find yourself a productive player at that position. But Baker's been unbelievable. And, you know, I think Jason Light, their GM, has done a really good job since he's been there. Obviously, they got lucky with Brady choosing to go there. But he's done a good job of identifying the type of players he wants, and Coach Bowles has done a good job. I've known Todd for a long time. He was in Dallas with me. So they have a profile for the players they like. They've benefited from being in a weaker division. I think the NFC South has been down compared to what it's been. And, you know, even that kind of makes it a little more frustrating that the Saints aren't winning, because I think the NFC South isn't a great division. You just need to throw together some good wins, and you have a chance to win this division, because, you know, Bryce Young hasn't been very good. Now the quarterback situation in Atlanta looks up in the air as far as their confidence in him. So never been a better time to win the NFC South.
Scott, the crazy thing is, and Eileen Heitnik, who was in Baton Rouge for quite some time, covering the Saints, and then she went back home to Tampa. She said on the final drive, as the offense goes on the field, the chant went up, you know, in Tampa, Baker. She said it was deafening. And she said, I just think about the day they signed him. 95% of, if you did call-in radio, was against it. Now, she said, now everybody, oh, I was for Baker from the start. I mean, you know how fans are. I was for Baker from the start. I knew he'd be like this. And she said, it's just amazing how the transformation of Baker Mayfield. And, Scott, I think he's been the difference in the NFC South. The Bucks aren't going to be that good if Baker doesn't win those games. And people say, well, it's a team game. Oh, yeah, it is. But you got to have a special talent at the most important position. And he's been able to do that for him. And, man, he's got a good running game with Irving. Their receivers are good. I know Evans is going to miss some time, but it looks as though Godwin potentially could play this week. If not this week, he'll be back real soon. And that Abuka guy from Ohio State can sure play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of laughed. You said nobody wanted him there. Listen, following Tom Brady is a hard thing to do. And that's what's impressed me the most with Baker is they've won games. They've been competitive. And he gives them a chance to win every week. And that's what you want from that position. When you step on the field on Sunday, everybody in your locker room, everybody in your fan base says, we have a chance today, no matter who we're playing, because we have that guy, whoever it is playing quarterback. And so Baker's been outstanding. He brings a lot of energy. You can tell he's the leader of the team. The team galvanized around him. And it's been really special to watch what he did, kind of resurrecting his career after Cleveland gave up on him probably way too early.
Give us your assessment of the play this year from Pete Warner. Because, you know, Pete was a guy, I think he was disappointed in maybe how things turned out last year for himself personally. But your thoughts on Warner this year for the Saints defensively?
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody that did another radio show, and they asked me who the best defensive player on the Saints has been this year over three games, cumulative. And I said, without a doubt, number 20. I think I've watched all the coaches' tape from the last three games, and he's been everywhere. I mean, he is all over the field. He's been one of the most productive, if not leading tackler in two of the three games. He'll miss a couple tackles here or there, but it's because he's to the ball all the time. He's flying around. He's playing with a lot of energy. He's staying pretty healthy. So I think over the three games, he's been the most active player. He's looking to hit somebody every single play. And, Granders, a very productive player. He's a lot of sacks. I think Pete's been really good in just showing up every week, just being who are we going to get this week? Oh, we're going to get 10 tackles out of number 20. And he's been everywhere.
Scott, always awesome talking to you. Thanks so much. What do you do for road games? I know, obviously, we won't be again in the Dome this weekend.
Yeah, for road games, I'm still in New Orleans, so we do our pregame and postgame shows from the Saints studio. So still doing the same thing, just doing it from the studio.
Just keep Verrett in line now. You know what I mean? You can't let him snowball you on stuff. Now you got to watch him, Scott.
There you go.
Who dat, Scott? Thanks again for your time, man.
Yep, no problem, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Szanley, a Super Bowl champ, the Saints pregame and postgame analyst. We're going to take a break here on our weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino and shall return with even more right after this on WWL. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino, and if you join Boyd Rewards at the Treasure Chest, play up to $300 on them. Simply sign up at Treasure Chest, play on their new Boyd Rewards card at your favorite slot machines, table games, and earn up to $300 in Boyd play. Voted the number one, not number two or number three, number one players club.
You stole that line.
By USA Today. Join Boyd Rewards today. Start experiencing exceptional rewards and offers. Coming up next hour, folks, we're going to get into some of the Saints opposition. The LSU opposition. Evie Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk, will join us as we break down that game at Ole Miss on Saturday.
It's a big one.
Yeah, that's a
two of them.
Yeah.
Think about it. 2:30, you got LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia.
Ooh-wee.
You know what Kirby Smart's record is against Alabama?
Hit me.
1-6.
Damn. I know Georgia's been lethal at home, though.
Yeah, but not against Alabama. And last year, you know, everybody thought this was going to be Kirby's year. You don't have to go up against Nick. It didn't happen.
Top of the hour news up next. We shall be back with more weekend kickoff after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in, folks. Thursday edition of Sports Talk. That means we're here at the Treasure Chest Casino for weekend kickoff, getting ready for all the action Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now we're going to be talking to, on the line with us, Mike Evie Van Pelt, publisher of Rebel Walk, as the Rebels hosting LSU Saturday, 2:30. Evie, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
I am here.
Okay, great.
And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Evie. I'm glad you were able to join us. How surprised have you been in watching Trinidad Chambliss? Charlie Long and I got an opportunity. We go to Manning, and so we looking around. We grabbing interviews. And the second interview I grabbed, I told Charlie, I want to talk to that guy. And it was Austin Simmons. And he's a big dude. And so before we do the interview, I said, Austin, tell me something that I don't know about you. And he was like, well, Mr. Mike, I graduated. I was like, you're 19 years old. He said, well, yeah, I already got my degree. Now, I knew he had skipped a grade and he had graduated at 19. I was so impressed with the way that ball came out of his arm because, you know, being that southpaw. But you look at Trinidad. Okay, I know how they list him. I don't think he's nearly that height, put it to you that way. But he's just a playmaker. And Evie, he's a winner. There is something about that in life, about somebody who figures out a way to get it done. And that's what Chambliss has done. He's been terrific.
Yeah, he really has, Mike. And I tell you, I think, you know, we know Lane Kiffin knows what he's doing when it comes to quarterbacks. And I think they saw him. Lane said somebody on his staff brought him the footage of Trinidad at D2 Ferris State. And then they did all they could to get him into Oxford. And I think, you know, Lane identified some things in that young man. And he talked about, honestly, after I believe it was the Arkansas game, Lane talked about, and you know, Lane doesn't gush ever, but he was kind of gushing. And he said he's just got that it factor about him. So I think that's kind of what you're talking about. They just find a way to make it happen.
One of the things I know Lane always has talked about because of his passing, but they really like to run the football. I think it's an unsung part of what Ole Miss likes to do. Last year, they weren't as efficient running it as maybe in years past, and maybe that got something to do with the running back, too, that ended up at Ohio State. But you got Lacy this year, and Kawan, especially when you get in the red zone, he's been the guy to put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, he really has. They really needed him. You know, they wanted him. They wanted him last year when he was a freshman, when he was going through recruiting. He was from here in Texas, and they thought down to the very final minute that they were getting him until he put on that Missouri hat. But, yeah, we thought they were getting him, too. We had somebody there to cover it. So I know they wanted him, so I don't know if that, played any role in – in last season, you know, they really were thinking they were going to have Kiwan. But, he's brought them back that part of the game that they absolutely were missing last year.
I think the hardest thing to replace is when you lose people up front, offensive, defensive linemen. And I know you and I talked about this, when you lose what they lost along the defensive line. Walter Nolan, who was a first-round pick, and then Princely ended up being a third-round pick. Ivy signed as a free agent contract. J.J. Fergiz was, he's a really good athlete, and he's quite an interview. He got picked in the draft. How has their defensive line looked so far this year? When you look at it, when you lose four top guys like that, all to the National Football League, Evie, that's a tough replace for any team in college football.
Oh, it really is. I mean, to lose that many guys who are now, playing on NFL teams is pretty tough. But Pete Golding has talked about it a couple of times and said, he likes the guys that they've got. He doesn't really feel like they're losing much. Now, I will say it's hard to replace a Walter Nolan, but, he commented that, and Lane's pretty good at that whole portal thing, but he said, we didn't bring in any interior defensive line guys via the portal. We liked who we had. And so I thought that was interesting. And I'd keep my eyes on Big Xavier Harris, big defensive tackle, 6'8", 330. He's an outstanding player. They had Cam Franklin, a defensive end, who was a former, number one player in Mississippi. Same thing with Will Eccles, another Mississippi boy. And then, of course, they've got Suntarian Perkins and Prince William on Mialen, Princely's little brother. And actually, Lane has said he thinks at this point Prince Will is farther along than Princely was. So that's interesting. So, no, they don't have that level. I don't think they're getting exactly the same amount of pressure that group last year was. And Jared Ivey, I don't want to forget him last year. He was outstanding. Bruce were really smart, talented players. So, but it's not been as big of a drop-off as maybe a lot of people might have thought.
The kicking game, and that's something, if it comes down to a late field goal, Evie, I would feel very confident if I'm Ole Miss sending that guy out on the field. He is really one of those guys that I could see one day he's going to pop a 65-yard field goal, either in college or the pros.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And that, I don't know if folks have noticed it, Rebel fans have, but there have been a lot of times this season that you just knew Lane was going to go for it on fourth down, that he actually sent the kicker out there, Lucas Carnero. He's 10 of 11, as long as 54, and he's hit, all of his PATs so far. But Lane said after this last game, after the win over Tulane, he commented and said, there was actually one time in this game where the analytics said to go ahead and go for it, but I've got so much confidence in Carnero, we went ahead and kicked. And he was 3 for 3 and hit the 54-yarder. So you're right. Ole Miss is pretty strong in the kicking game this year.
In watching the Tulane, I couldn't watch it because I was doing LSU coverage, but in watching that Tulane-Ole Miss game again, what I was impressed with was the Ole Miss defensive backs, almost like they had Velcro on the Tulane wideouts. Now, it's a different group of receivers. And I really think the LSU receiving core is the strength of their team, top to bottom. You look at that unit, it's really good. But, you had a big loss. Trey Amos ended up being a second-round pick in the draft last year. That, to me, is the challenge here because I don't think they'll be able to get the pressure that maybe they got last year on Nussmeier. In the game in Tiger Stadium, can the Ole Miss defensive backs cover those LSU wideouts and all of them can run? And I do think this is a game Brian Kelly wants Chris Hilton to get much more involved with.
I think it's interesting. I think it's going to come down to, Lane has talked a lot about the LSU defense and how Brian Kelly got the top three highest paid DBs in the portal, the top three DBs. And he said, I think personally this is going to come down to how can the Ole Miss wide receivers do against that talented LSU secondary, and then vice versa, what you just mentioned, a very talented Tiger receiving core up against Ole Miss's secondary that they've pretty much had to rebuild. So keep an eye on Antonio Kite. He is a transfer from Auburn, and I don't think they expected him maybe to come in and be as ready to go as he was. Kapina Gushikin, I'm probably butchering his name every time I say it, but He was a transfer from Washington State. He's a safety. He's doing real well. Wydette Williams is a safety that made some tackles against Tulane, but he was the one who recovered the fumble that Ole Miss had to have against Arkansas. T.J. Dottery forced it. He recovered it. Anyway, Chris Graves Jr., I don't think they've – obviously they've not been tested like they will be this coming weekend, but you know what? I don't know that either team has been tested, you know, in any position group thus far this season like they will be Saturday.
Evie, I agree with you. I think this is the best offense LSU's going to have to go up against. And I think for Ole Miss, LSU's defense is the best defense they've had to go up with. You know, it's a crazy thing. The last 4 years, the home team has won here. And you think about last year, Eve, how could Ole Miss lose that game? You walk away from that stadium, and you said, you know, I was walking with a couple of different people, and they're like, how did LSU win? You know, because Ole Miss did everything right, but win the game, so to speak.
They led for all but 13 seconds of that game. I mean, I think that one is, you know, as many in that rivalry, you know, it's just stuck in the craw. I think Will Eccles, the defensive lineman for Ole Miss, commented earlier this week, you know, we still feel that one in our gut. And I think that, you know, that's true. But I also saw where Brian Kelly this week, you know, I guess maybe they had been talking about the 2 years ago, the game in Oxford that was just, that was another barn burner. And he said the difference is, you know, this year we're bringing a defense with us. And Lane Kiffin has talked about that. He said, you know, LSU always in the past, present, and in the future gets the top players in the state of Louisiana. That is a given. He said the difference is now they have mastered the portal. They're spending the money, and they've mastered the portal, and there's a reason they were the top class. And he said, you know, the guys they got on the defensive line and in the secondary in the portal, he said, just, you know, outstanding.
You and I talked about this when they hired him, but Pete Golding, and I told you, I think he took a lot of heat in Alabama and kind of unjustified. He has really been a difference maker as a coach. And I know, you know, you hear it from David, you hear it from me, that coaching still matters. And Pete Golding has really been a huge plus in what he's been able to do with that defensive talent at Ole Miss.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And I think one thing that I see from Pete that I maybe didn't always see at Ole Miss in recent years, besides, you know, his ability to spot talent and recruit it and bring it in and coach it, is he makes really good adjustments in the game itself. And so when Ole Miss played Arkansas a couple of weekends ago, you know what, they gave up like 28 points or something like that in the first half, 28, I think. And Ole Miss fans were like, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't feel good. We hadn't seen, you know, this defense like this in a while. But boom, you know, halftime, Pete makes some adjustments with his guys and they give up 7 the rest of the game. And so I think that's also something. And so that's to your point. I mean, you can have all the money in the world and the portal stars and whatever, but you still got to coach them.
Thanks so much for the time, folks. To check out all her great work, go to the Rebel Walk. Find out more information on Ole Miss as they get ready to host LSU on Saturday.
Oh, Evie, I always wish you the best of luck, but not this Saturday.
Same. Right back at you, Mike.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, but not too great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Evie. That was Evie Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk, our special edition weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. Stepping away, be right back with more after this on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. Let you know a little about what's going on. We're at the Game Bar and Grill. That's right adjacent to the FanDuel Sportsbook, the best place in town to grab a bite to eat, watch the games, enjoy quality craft beer or drink. Wall-to-wall jumbo screen showing sports action from every major league across the country. The game at the Treasure Chest Casino provides a fan atmosphere, elevating the typical sports bar experience with a well-rounded menu. And like Mike, I've said, the sports book right next door with those lounge chairs, that's like a dream for me.
Yeah, I could take me a good little nap before the game starts, and then I'm ready to roll after that. So, yeah,
kick
come
back
on.
Like you're at home.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, it wouldn't take me long, I will guarantee you that. But, and come on here to the bar and grill, have some great, man, I'm just almost finishing up some of the fried shrimp, get the shrimp basket.
I love the wings here.
The wings are super. Also, if you like the pizza, man, the pizza is good. It's real cheesy, as my oldest granddaughter would say, Pop. The pizza is real cheesy. I like it that way.
We're gonna take a break here. Come back with more of our weekend kickoff. Get into a little Atlanta Falcons talk. D'Orlando Ledbetter will join us to find out what is going on in the ATL. Be back with more of our weekend kickoff right after this at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL. Treasure Chest Casino, weekend kickoff action rolling on here. Always, every Thursday, come out and say hey to me and Mike D. Now happy to welcome into the radio huddle one of our favorites to talk to, D. Orlando Ledbetter, covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. D, how you been doing, man?
Hey, I've been doing pretty good. Got the season started, and we got back some real football going now.
D, thank God for that. It was a long, long spring and summer, but you know, one thing with the Saints, they got issues. I mean, and it's too long for me to even go through. But, man, the Falcons really invented a good one on this. They can blame their receivers coach and fire him because their passing game isn't going right. That one is a real good one, D.
Yeah, no doubt. He just led Drake London, Ray McCloud, and Darnell Mooney to career years last year. So, screams of something else than, actually who's responsible for, a bad outing and a slow start to the offense.
Last week was weird to watch. Michael Penix, he didn't look good at all. I mean, he looked awful back there. His mechanics was off. He didn't seem to be seeing the field very well. And is that maybe just a one-week kind of bad look? Because overall, you watch that game, especially when they played against Tampa. The big difference was Mayfield had the ball at the end, and he ended up winning it for him. But give us an assessment of what you've seen so far from Michael Penix.
Yeah, that was by far the worst game of his six games. He only played six. His best game was last year against Washington. He beat a bad Giants team, and then he put up 38 points in a shootout with the Panthers. Got off to a good start against Tampa, but they stalled in the red zone there. Minnesota, they stalled in the red zone again. Had to use five field goals and a giveaway touchdown late there. Then last week couldn't do anything. Bijan ran and the running backs ran, but in the passing game, he was missing people wide to his right. Threw a check out to his check down to his left. They got intercepted for a pick six. So people are starting to show up at the ball. So part scheme, part player, part execution is all in play here for the Atlanta Falcons.
James Pierce, you gave up a lot to get him in the draft, and next year's first round pick too. How would you look at his overall play? The one thing with Pierce, man, he got talent. Now you got to kind of treat him a little bit differently because he kind of danced to the beat of his own drum sometimes, but he's one hell of a football player if you can press the right buttons on him.
Yeah, no doubt. And so far, it looks like they are communicating well with him, and he seems to be in a good mood here. Haven't seen some of those issues that cropped up at Tennessee. But, yeah, he's they're spot playing all the rushers. I know the Minnesota game, everybody was at like 50%, 20 snaps, and they were able to light up J.J. McCarthy. They had some pressure on Baker, but Baker escaped. And the Panthers were throwing it so quick, nobody was getting there. They were just quick gaming them, and then they started running. So he's off to a good start. Seems to be, at home and at peace with the role they have for him as a designated pass rusher. And he should get better as the season progresses.
How much heat really is on Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot now? The one thing I will say about Arthur, he's patient with coaches and GMs. He's been in the past pretty patient in giving them time. But I think, man, that clock, you can start to hear the tick-tock pretty loud, D.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, I could be off because I misread Dan Quinn's thing too. But, Matt Ryan, in his second game, he had like a 29.6 passer rating through two interceptions. Down in Tampa Bay going to go up to Monty Kiffin and so forth. So I've seen this before. I've seen a rookie quarterback come out the gate and, not have answers. And Penix is essentially a rookie quarterback. So that's on the coaching staff to figure out what to play and how to play around, what he's seeing or what he's not able to see. They got a running back. They got two running backs. And, hey, that's what Falcons did with Michael Turner and George Norwood. They ran the ball until everybody came up to the box, and then they threw it over their head to Roddy White and Michael Jenkins. So, you can simplify things for your quarterback. You do have weapons, and how do you get it to them? So, the coaches got to figure that part of it out. But, yeah, you can if they get rolling here, they're okay. But the fact of the matter is about 70% of their salary cap money was spent on offense, and then we know about all the top 10 picks they had. And so the offense goes out and gets shut out. Hey, yeah, some jobs are on the line. And they started with Ike Hilliard, who had nothing to do with nothing.
D, that is a real winner. And we've seen, maybe the quarterback coach get fired or the coordinator, but man, the receivers coach, that's a real stretch with that. The kicking game has been a real adventure for the Falcons. Youngway Koo had long been a really good kicker in this league. And then, D, we saw it last year. I remember you and I talking about it, that you could see he wasn't the same guy. He had lost some confidence between the ears, and he's like a golfer. I can't sink that putt it was used to be an easy putt for me. And so they go to another kick, and he had issues last week. So, man, the kicking game ain't a real quick fix.
No doubt about it. Parker Romo missed a 49 and a 55. So those are long, but nowadays they expect you to make those. So, now he's competing for his job, a guy named Ben Saul from University of Pittsburgh, who, was invited to the combine, and he was in that group when they had six people in here for the trial. If you can't keep juggling that, you got to get it right. So I figure they'll stick with Parker one more week, and Parker Romo from, Virginia Tech, Central Arkansas, and Tulsa. He played at three schools. So they'll stick with him. Koo is up in New Jersey now with the Giants. He's on their practice squad, so he's going to get a chance to work out his problems. He's from New Jersey, so maybe being home will help him settle down. We've seen that a lot with kickers. I remember Matt Prater was here. He was kicking things in the ocean down in Jacksonville, but then he straightened it out and went on to have a long career, and I think he's still kicking right now.
Kyle Pitts. When you look at, early round selections and where he was selected in round one, and he was such a dominant player, D, at Florida, and he was the one guy that scared the bejesus out of you when you had to play Florida because it was to match up against him. I know he's had injuries, but he's been a disappointment I think his rookie year he hit pretty well. But then after that, he's had a lot of injuries. And the Kyle Pitts I think all of us thought we would see has really not emerged in Atlanta.
Yeah, he has not. And, part of it is, I think, switching coaches. You know, Arthur Smith features his tight ends and knows how to use them. He got him 1,000 yards that rookie year, and I think, he was on his way to developing him. But, they bought in this new offense that, and the Rams don't use their tight end as much either. You know, Higbee doesn't really do much for them, so there's not a lot drawn up for Kyle here. And, granted, he got overdrafted. Maybe he's not a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown guy. Maybe he's a 600-yard, 4-touchdown guy. Pretty clear they could have had Micah Parsons or Penny Sewell at that spot, or even Jamar Chase. So he's overdrafted, but now make him a functional player if you can, and they're trying to do that.
When you look at running backs in the NFL, okay, Saquon Barkley is who he is. You could make a really strong argument. The two guy, Bijan Robinson. Man, he's been everything as advertised since he came out of Texas.
Yeah, no doubt. He makes a miss. He runs hard. He's got the power to him. You don't have to everything doesn't have to be outside. He can catch it out of the backfield. He's definitely when people started comparing him to LaDainian Tomlinson and Marcus Faulk and Barry Sanders, I was like, just stop it, okay? Let's just, if he can get to half of that, you'll be okay. But he's definitely off to a great start in a young career.
D, always appreciate your time, man. What too is like the fan base like right now with their attitude with the quarterback situation? I know Coach has the confidence still in Penix, but what are the fans wanting to see Cousins take over at the helm?
You started everything in play. They want to fire the coach. They want the coordinator gone, and they want Cousins at quarterback. So you got to remember, these are the same people who wanted Matt Schaub in for Michael Vick. So, all that's in play right now.
Yeah, we hear it too. Just like Mr. Blank got to sell the team, and come on, these guys ain't selling. Or ladies, they're not selling no team. Look the money they making in that. Why would you sell an NFL team if you were the majority owner? D, it's not like you making nickels on a dollar. Look the kind of cash that's coming in. D, that has changed so much since you started covering the NFL. I started covering the NFL. Man, the money here is just unbelievable.
Yeah, no doubt. The TV money, and they're getting people, streaming people to pay them money, and they're playing around the world now. There's no reason to sell the team. You just want to have a good transition in place for your family to keep it and, be a wealth-creating machine, because no matter what happens, the NFL seems to be growing and growing financially and exponentially.
D, always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much. It'll be a while since we're talking about Saints-Falcons, though. It's a strange season how the schedule laid out.
Yeah, no doubt, but thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, D.
Always great stuff. D. Orlando Ledbetter. You can find that all about the Dirty Birds, Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
So you see, Steve,
yeah.
When you think you got problems, you talk to somebody else in
from
life.
Another team, right?
No, it's like if you talk to somebody else in life and you got problems, then they start talking to you. You say, man, you ain't got as many problems as I thought I had. Okay, it's the same thing when you talk, Falcons, Saints, Panthers. No, the only people that they riding high now is the Bucks.
Yeah.
And they're the only team since 1970. That's when they started doing this, when the leagues merged, that they have won the first three games in the last possession.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean,
you figured by now somebody would have won three straight like that to start the season.
Definition of finding that way to get the W.
Two words. Baker Mayfield.
Stunning right now. Yeah, for sure. Taking a break here on Weekend Kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. We shall return right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on our Weekend Kickoff edition of Sports Talk, stationed at the Treasure Chest Casino. Getting ready for Thursday Night Football coming up at 7 p.m. between the Seattle Seahawks and Arizona Cardinals. Saturday, you can catch Mike D. And also Herb Tyler at the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. A little bit of an earlier start this week.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock we'll start off all the coverage. LSU Ole Miss will be at Acme Oyster House. The doors will open at 11 o'clock. So, man, come on by and visit us. We have 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Got great food and drink specials. You can watch all the early games, and you can watch the LSU game there if you want to. And Herb and I will be there until 12:30, and then we pass it on to, you know, to Hunt and Big Fave.
Hester.
Yeah, and Hester, the whole gang, and then they crank it up at 2:30, and you can hear that game right here on the Big 870 WWL LSU Ole Miss. It's the first time since 1959, Billy Cannon's Halloween night run, that these teams have been undefeated and untied playing.
Ah, the drama is building.
Yeah, and it's a huge game. And then, you know, after LSU, Ole Miss, you know, Georgia and Alabama, Georgia and Alabama face off. Listen, I think the Crimson Tide got a shot here. I really do.
We'll get more into that, I'm sure, on our Pick Six segment coming up next hour. Also, we're going to lead off 6 p.m. talking to Elena Getzenberg, Buffalo Bills reporter for ESPN. Find more about this Bills squad that looks like they could be en route to a Super Bowl appearance. They face the Saints on Sunday.
Got to get better on defense.
Yes, indeed. Coming back with more of Weekend Kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here, a weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino, hanging out here till 7 p.m. when Thursday night football kicks off. We got Seattle taking on Arizona, starting week 4 action. Want to remind folks, every Friday, 4 o'clock, countdown to the football weekend also officially begins with Saints legendary running back and color analyst Deuce McAllister and the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Join them for Fans and the Pro as we break down all the games from Saints' next opponent at Buffalo and key opponents in the NFC South to LSU's next battle, which is Ole Miss and other clashes in the SEC. They'll make their picks and want to hear from yours. Haas and Deuce, Fans in the Pro, tomorrow 4 to 6 right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We've been breaking down Buffalo versus the Saints on Sunday. For helping us get the Bills side of things, Elena Getzenberg, reporter for ESPN, joining us now. Elena, thanks so much for the time. How have you been doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. All good. We're coming off a bit of a little bye with the Bills playing on Thursday Night Football last week. So certainly feeling refreshed and excited for a 1 p.m. football game. That's rare here, so doing well.
Elena, I think a lot of people sort of want to know about his progress. He's a Louisiana guy, and Keon Coleman, who always wanted to go to LSU. It didn't end up right for him. He goes to Michigan State and then to Florida State, ends up being a real early second-round pick for the Bills. And you can see, you know, there's still a little bit of you got to put a little bit more grit on the sandpaper to get all the rough spots out of him. Very talented young man, was a terrific basketball player. I watched him play basketball in high school. So a little bit about his progress with the Bills.
Oh, yes, we hear about his basketball days still. So definitely still comes up. He's been doing, I think this year has been an important step. I mean, it's early. We still have a lot to see. But he came back this offseason. He was given some notes from the Bills. They wanted him to get stronger. He needed to work on his consistency. And he came back, and it was clear that he had worked on those things. And he had a great camp. Josh Allen was saying a lot of great things about him. And that showed in the second half of their week 1 win over the Ravens. He played a huge role and their offense being able to do what it did and coming back down 15 points. So he's taking good steps. He is not in a place where he is their number one receiver. They really don't have one. But I do think we're going to see Keon continue to get more involved in this offense, and they like the steps that he's taking. Kind of like you said, he is not – there's still room for growth, absolutely. It's important to remember, as I'm sure you all know down there, he's very young, so there's a lot of development still to come there. But he's taking the steps they'd like him to see, and then there's the room to grow that they would hope will come as the season progresses.
Every time I watch the Bills' offense, and I know who's running it with Joe Brady – Elena reminds me so much of 2019 and how he uses James Cook in the same manner he used Clyde Edwards-Helaire here as a runner, as a receiver, and it helps set everything up for the passing game. And James has been a tremendous player for the Bills, but it's so reminiscent because it has a lot of the same sort of put the square peg into the square hole, round peg, round hole, that he did with LSU when he was really the passing game coordinator here and worked with the receivers. But it has a lot of the same elements in Buffalo.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a signature of a Joe Brady offense at this point. I covered him when he was with the Panthers as well, so I saw some of this. And I think with how they're using James Cook is – even a step more than what he did last year, which is really good news for this offense that they're trusting him on the field on third down more often, as you noted, as a receiving option on the field more often than last year. And Joe Brady loves to run the football. So we're going to continue to see that a lot with James Cook. It helps this offense be balanced and makes Josh Allen really a better player when he doesn't have to run the football so much, so he's not getting banged up as often. And they just love what they've gotten from James Cook to start the season. Obviously signed a 4-year extension in August. So there's a lot they're excited about with him. And he's shown, like, I talked to him this week, he's really progressed in terms of run after contact. That's an area he kind of looked at this offseason, and he got stronger. And him being able to shed tackles and really make these runs downfield is such a huge step for this offense as well. So, like you said, they are using him. They're using him a lot. Joe Brady loved getting the running backs involved, and we're going to continue to see that with James Cook moving forward here.
Ryan Nielsen, who's one of the, I think, senior defensive assistants, former Saints defensive line coach, he was at our Louisiana line camp in the summer in July, and he brought up to me, I asked him, concern. He said, concern defensively is we got a lot of new pieces in the secondary. And so he said, I'm always concerned about how the communication part is between players. He said, we used a first-round pick on a cover corner. Now, he was, he got hurt during the training camp preseason time frame, and then bringing back Trey White, another LSU guy. So far, teams have had success running, but they have played better on the back end than I think that Ryan really thought he would see early this season.
I would say it's been up and down. I agree with what you're saying, though. They've definitely had issues against the run. It hasn't been perfect at all. I think a major concern, though, for this group still is that safety position. At cornerback, they're very happy with Christian Benford. It is still a bit of a question mark. It looks like Tre'Davious White's going to be playing a good bit here because Maxwell Harrison still on injured reserve and doesn't look like he's coming back soon. So they're kind of hoping that Tre'Davious White can continue to take steps forward. But they've got their second-year safety, Cole Bishop, back there with Taylor Rapp, Taylor Rapp's been solid, I would say, but there's definitely some concern when it comes to Cole Bishop and if he can continue to improve where he kind of is, because he is, that back end is still a bit of a liability. And the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football last week were able to convert all these third and longs, and it was kind of a bit of an issue where they just weren't able to get off the field. So I think some of those concerns have still held up where there are question marks in that secondary in terms of can they make progress? Can they gel together better than they have consistently at times this season? That is still a question mark. They've only won. Two of their games have been won basically by last fourth quarter takeaways, which is a good thing for a defense, but getting off the field sooner is important. So I, with what he said, I think definitely taking steps there, but it is still a concern and one of the big question marks remaining on this team.
Is this team built, you know, because they try to hit you with the tsunami offensively, where they put all kind of points up on you, and then they're asking their defensive line, if it's Russo, if it's Joey Bosa, I know Ed Oliver is dealing with an injury also, hey, just play Sikkim at the quarterback. You know, just try to put all kind of pressure on the quarterback. But the run support thing for me, I look at the Dolphins, they weren't a great running team. They averaged 5.2 yards a rush, got 130 yards rushing. Wouldn't have been for Tua putting up a pass he never saw. The linebacker kind of cut through. That game's really, really tight to the end. Defensively, that would seem to be a major concern if you're looking at this team advancing far or trying to get into the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. You can run on this team. Right now, Ed Oliver, he is not still not practicing. I don't expect him this week and could, you know, how long that'll stretch, we don't know yet. But he's still out and he's a major loss of relying on a couple of rookies to fill his spot. So there's no doubt that you can run on this defense and not, they got to figure that out. There's, it's not just Ed Oliver being absent either, because we saw the Ravens in week one, of course, a fantastic rushing offense. You expect them to have some success, but they steamrolled the Bills in week one with Ed Oliver. So there's no doubt that is a huge concern for this defense. They have to be able to get off the field and stop the run. And they really invested in the defensive line this offseason, both in the draft and in free agency, to try to take that next step. And because of suspensions as well to a couple of players and injuries and all this stuff, they're relying on young guys even more than they anticipated. And you can see it all over the field. So they've got reinforcements coming. They're hoping to get healthier and get a couple guys back from suspension in week 8. So that's still a far way away. But they do have guys coming back that they hope will help them fill these holes, because right now it is an issue and they have to get it corrected. Or I agree with you. I think it's going to become an issue in the postseason as well.
I think we see it more and more now in the NFL, only because the collegiate ranks have been able to produce, you know, numerous tight ends and sort of double digit, really good tight ends every year over the last couple, three. But what you got to cover with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and even Jackson Hawes coming in here, I mean, that is more and more of a trend we see across the NFL of the two tight end offense. And it's not about blocking. A lot of it has to do with trying to create a mismatch downfield in the receiving part of the game. But that when you got Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and we'll see how well Jackson Hawes comes around, that is a really good group of tight ends, all three of them.
It really is. And they've been very impressed with Jackson Hawes, especially his blocking ability. He's been like the talk of the town this week of how well he's been playing, just caught his first touchdown as well last week, kind of what you're referencing there. And the question is definitely with Dalton Kincaid when it comes to the tight ends. He's in his third year now. He was a first round pick they traded up for. He's playing better this year for sure. He's taken a step kind of similar to Keon. But they invested very, very highly in Dalton to kind of be even more than he is in this receiving game for Josh Allen. And he just has not yet, like, broken through that seal that they wanted him to. He had some flashes so far this year, but they are really hoping now in his third year that he can take even more of a step forward. And like you're saying, that these tight ends can be such a force for this offense. I remember general manager Brandon Bean, when they drafted Dalton, really emphasizing how they want to have Dalton and Dawson on the field at the same time and to be receiving threats in that way. So that really hasn't been realized to the fullest extent. And if that can really form this season, this offense is going to even get better, which is a scary thing for other teams, but something that internally they're definitely keeping an eye on is the progress of Dalton Kincaid, because they've, like you said, it's a strong tight end room, but they think it can even be better. So So how he progresses will be a key part of the season.
He's a Louisiana guy, so got to ask you about it. And my producer who called you, Charlie Long, you got to cover his ears because he started at University of Louisiana. He was a raging Cajun before Billy Napier really paid him, and he goes to Florida for that last year. But the progress you've seen so far from Osiris Torrance.
Yeah, they love him. He's such a very sweet young man as well. He has been, this offensive line has been playing so well the past couple of years, and he, to me, is a, such an underappreciated part of that, and someone I wouldn't be surprised if they reward with a contract down the road when he's eligible, because he's been playing very well. They really trust him. They showed that by putting him out there early, and he is absolutely one of those picks where it's like, it's worked so well. And that offensive line, it doesn't, again, offensive line never gets enough credit, but they're such a crucial part of this offense. And he is a key element of that and someone that they just have seen grown and develop. And again, wouldn't be surprised if he's a Buffalo Bill for a long time.
Only thing with him is grew up in South Louisiana, then he goes to Florida. He started trying to get used to that cold weather in the wintertime. That's a little change from down here.
For all those guys, it's such an adjustment. Even talking to Keon, it's like, okay, he went to Michigan State and all that, but it's different in Buffalo. So for all of them, it's a bit of an adjustment. But they've got their warm coats. They're doing all right.
One thing with Keon, he's going to be layered, and it don't matter how he looks. I mean, you know, and if he want to hear a story, just talk to Keon. Man, he is quite the guy that I think he would be a great radio host one day.
Oh, my gosh.
You
would never be able to expect what he says. He will always keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Elena, looking at the crowd for this game, it's, you mentioned a rare early start in Buffalo. What's the Bills Mafia going to be like for a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff?
Actually pretty crazy because, as we were just talking about, it's supposed to be beautiful weather. Ironically, it stayed pretty warm here, so it's going to be a lovely fall day in Buffalo, New York, and we just haven't had and aren't going to have many 1 p.m. games this year. So this is actually a pretty expensive ticket to try and get, so they're going to be pumped up. They're going to be really excited for it, and I expect it to be a packed one because we just, there's not a lot of 1 p.m. games, so I think it's going to be more like a night game than you would anticipate for a 1 p.m. kick.
A couple years back when they played in New Orleans and where Steve and I park at, we used to have to cross that little, and they came to town.
Ooh.
It was packed and nothing but Buffalo Bills fans. They were having a really good, let me just say, a really good time. I got invited along with the other guy we do the show with, Bobby Hebert. Hey, y'all have a good time. Hey, we got a few of y'all want to kind of tip it a little bit. Man, they were having a good time. That's all I'm telling you in New Orleans. They really enjoyed their stay in the Big Easy.
They always know how to have a good time. I show up at, like, too early of hours to people having a very good time. And I'm like, when did you get here? So they know how to have a nice time. So I'm sure that'll still be the case on Sunday.
Awesome stuff, Elena. Definitely appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Elena.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Elena Getzenberg, Buffalo Bills reporter for ESPN. Black and gold heading up there on Friday. But like she mentioned, we saw this on the schedule early on, and we're like, well, thankfully, we know Bills are a good team, but the weather not a factor in this game at being an issue.
No, I heard they're supposed to be in the 70s. I mean, what? Man, that's really beautiful weather. And, you know, they know how to have a good time, man.
Watch out for those tables out there. Oh, they get the brunt of everything.
They get the big brunt of it. But, boy, we saw it when they came to New Orleans. It was unbelievable, the amount of Buffalo Bill fans. And so it was like spring break for them. I mean, everybody hit the city.
We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Have you guys ever tried the Alder and Birch Steakhouse that's here? Indulge in the finest cuts of steak and fresh seafood at Alder and Birch Steakhouse. Menu features a variety of steaks cooked to perfection, along with a range of delicious seafood options and a carefully curated list of classic cocktails, premium wines to perfectly complement your meal. Whether celebrating special occasions or simply enjoying a steak or seafood dinner, Alder and Birch at Treasure Chest Casino provides an unforgettable dining experience. Taking that break. Be right back with more. Getting into our Pick 6 segment right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Weekend Kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're inside the Game Bar and Grill just hanging out waiting for Thursday Night Football. to start week four action, and we got some NFL, like I said, kicking off tonight, college football, the big game starting on Saturday. We're going to get into all that on our pick six segment. Charlie, how did the last weekend go for us? I think we did fared a little bit better than our early picking so far. We're starting to get warmed up.
Guys, given how the start of the season went, this was our best week by far, except for Bobby. Bobby didn't have a great week, but we'll get into that. I went 4-2. Mike, you went 4-2. Steve, you went 5-1 this past week. Awesome week for you. Bobby went 2-4. So a couple things that happened last week. I picked Texas Tech. That worked out for me. I picked Tulane. That did not work out for me, unfortunately. And then, Steve, what put you over the top was taking the Lions on Monday Night Football. That definitely worked out for you. You were the only one to take them. Everyone else was on the Ravens. So congrats to that, Steve.
Yeah, I was loving Dan Campbell, you know, with his big you-know-what and going for it all the time. It doesn't seem like he likes kicking field goals.
Yeah, so, Charlie, I saw him flip the coin over here. That's how he picked the Lions.
Yeah, well, it worked out for him. So resetting the standings, guys, we have a three-way tie for first place. Mike, Steve, and Bobby all sitting at 14-12. You know, I'm picking up the pace a little bit here, guys. This is my first winning week. You know, I'm typically pretty decent at this, but this year has not been very kind to me. I'm at 12-14, so I got a little bit of ground to make up, and hopefully I can make some ground up this week. We'll see what happens. Guys, we're going to start. College football week five is absolutely loaded. There was maybe six different games I could have picked for this. We could have done the whole thing for college football, but we split it up 3-3 as we always do. And so we're going to start, go chronologically order. We got number 4 LSU at number 13 Ole Miss. The Rebels 1.5-point favorites at home, guys. I know a lot of bookies and a lot of different sports bettors are kind of following the trend. Mike, you and I talked about this on Tuesday, that the home team has been winning these games pretty consistently, at least over the last few years. Bobby's got LSU plus 1.5, and I'm also going to go with LSU and get the 1.5 points here. Even if, you know, it's a close game, we got the point I have to work with. I think LSU wins this game outright. You know, the kind of the good trends that you saw from Garrett Nussmeier, I know it's against Southeastern, but being able to push the ball downfield, something that he really wasn't able to do in the first 3 weeks of the season with that torso injury, I think he's starting to get healthy. Coach Kelly's been talking about he's starting to get healthy. That adds a whole new dimension to LSU's offense that I don't think people have seen so far this year. And I got LSU winning this game at Ole Miss, guys. I'm right there with Bobby taking them plus 1.5.
Better defense than they've had the last, what, 3 or 4 years. I got to go with LSU here. I know the last 4 years, home team has won.
Right.
It's split 2-2. But you know what? I think it breaks this year. I'm going to go with the Tigers in a field goal game over Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm right along with the pack. And like you just said there, Mike, that defense right now for LSU has me giving them the edge. Even with, I know, a prolific Ole Miss offense, I think they can match up well against them.
See how well the kid plays again.
Exactly.
Chambliss.
Yeah.
You know, see how well that works out. But he's been fantastic, really has. And he's no rookie. I mean, he started a lot of games at Ferris State. He understands, but he's never played in this type atmosphere. I think he'll play well, but I think LSU's defense is outstanding this year. The secondary's terrific. I'm going to go with the Tigers here in a close game.
Hopefully the clean sweep here from us doesn't jinx the LSU Tigers.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's happened before, guys. But as you said, hopefully it's not the case. And as you mentioned, Mike, strength versus strength in this matchup. Top 10 scoring defense in the country in LSU. Top 10 scoring offense in the country in Ole Miss. I think both of them are legit. It's going to be an awesome matchup, the chess match between Blake Baker's defense and Lane Kiffin's offense. But just the amount of talent that LSU has on defense this year, I think that they're a little bit more legit. And I do think that Ole Miss's offense is going to be great all season long, but LSU's defense is going to be the same way. So give me the Tigers. Clean sweep here, guys, to start things off. Up next, we got the whiteout game. Number 3, Penn State, hosting number 6, Oregon. Penn State, 3.5-point favorites. And boy, oh boy, I have been swinging back and forth on this one because I hate taking James Franklin in big games. Big game James, as they call it. I think he's like 4-20. Against top 10 teams in his time at Penn State. He's been terrible. Bobby's taken Oregon plus 3.5 here. But then I was like looking at some of the numbers about Penn State and their whiteout game and how difficult of an atmosphere that is to play. I know that Dante Moore, the quarterback of Oregon, has been awesome to start the season. And that, you know, Drew Aller for Penn State hasn't been very good. I like Penn State's rushing attack. I think that, you know, the home field advantage here will give them the edge. So I will differ from Bobby, and I will take Penn State minus 3.5 in a touchdown type of game.
I'm going to go with Penn State here. It's almost, I feel like this is a sucker game.
It is.
Putting that 3.5 on there. Penn State, come on, you got to win this a big game like this. And if you're gonna beat Oregon, you better beat them early,
right?
With Moore, because I think he gets better as the season goes along. I think Oregon is a legit team that could be playing deep into December. I feel the same way about Penn State. You know what? I think Penn State wins finally, because they've won a few. But I think if it's 4-20, let's make it 5-20.
I'm going to actually side with Hebert, guys. I'm going with the Quack Attack. Give me Oregon on the road here. I don't know. Penn State just hasn't impressed me at all.
They haven't.
No.
That's what scares me, Steve. I agree with you.
And guys, I'll put this out there as well, Mike, that I think that this is a more important game for Penn State than anything else. Like, because Oregon, if you look at their schedule, this is clearly the toughest game that they have to play. And I think, you know, outside of this, they could very easily run the table and be an 11-1 squad entering the college football playoff. On Penn State side of things, they still have to go to Ohio State later on in the season. I think this is a massive game for the Nittany Lions. I think the whiteout crowd will be there. I just think it's a sucker bet. Like you said, Mike, is the half point there. But give me Penn State -3.5. So this is split, guys. Mike and I got Penn State. Steve and Bobby got Oregon in this matchup. And closing out college football week 5, as I mentioned, a loaded slate. Number 17, Alabama at number 5, Georgia. Georgia 2.5-point favorites at home. And boy, oh boy, once again, a fantastic matchup here. In the SEC, you know, Mike, you had brought up the stat earlier, Kirby Smart's 1-6 against Alabama in his career. And I think that's a really, really interesting one. But at the same time, Georgia has won 33 straight home games. I know Alabama, they've been looking really, really dominant recently, but they've also had some issues on the road, unless they're playing in Death Valley. That's a side note. Give me Georgia -2.5. Bobby also has Georgia -2.5. A lot of money's been coming in on Bama, guys. It's kind of pushed the line down to 2.5, so that's why I'm taking them. Once again, could be a field goal type of game.
I like definitely Georgia at home as well. That record, too, for Kirby Smart, a lot dealing with the other guy that was coaching over there for a while, Nick Saban. I'm just more confident in the dogs at home.
Give me Alabama.
Oh! There it is.
Give me the Crimson Tide. I'm just telling you, I just think, man, if this game is close and you slip them four fingers up in the air, and it's 20-17, you say, uh-oh, is this going to happen again? I'm telling you, this game has a lot to do with mental. These teams are really well matched. But Georgia, and I got this from Pete Jenkins, Georgia is not nearly as good on defense front line. And he said as far as the depth, they don't have the depth they've had over the last couple of years because a lot of those guys get peeled off early for the draft.
Yeah.
If Alabama's got a shot here to redeem themselves off of an absolutely El Lazio performance against Florida State, it's here. And I think Georgia stole one against Tennessee. Tennessee helped them steal it. They almost gave them the wallet, so to speak. At the end of the game, I got to go with the Crimson Tide here.
Ooh-wee, nice and spicy for Mike. So, Charlie, we ended up going all the same. Everyone taking LSU, split even on Oregon, Penn State, and then Mike Yee, the only one being different, taking Bama.
No, and listen, it's a good pick. Bama's been playing really, really well, and they're getting their running back, I think, Jam Miller this weekend, so that's an extra dimension. Georgia's defense, as you mentioned, Mike, did not look very good against Tennessee, but they are at home, and just seeing some of the performances that Bama's had on the road under Coach DeBoer, on paper, I like Alabama and their roster more than this Georgia roster, but just playing in Athens, that's why I'm going with the home team.
Three picks down, three more to go. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, our weekend kickoff edition here on Sports Talk, hanging out at the Game Bar and Grill. NFL picks coming up next right after this on WWL. Weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill, rolling on this Thursday, the September 25th, getting ready for this weekend's action in week 4 in the NFL, kicking off this evening, Thursday Night Football, Arizona, Seattle, coming up here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Now getting into our NFL picks on pick 6, kicking off action. And Charlie, I know you got number 1 on the list here, Saints at Bills with that massive spread.
So the spread's actually come down a little bit, guys. So today, the day we're doing this, Thursday, it's officially 15.5. A little bit of money's been coming on the Saints here ever since it opened at 16.5. So Bobby's got the Saints +15.5 in Buffalo. This one's tough for me, guys. I'll take the Bills. I know that they didn't cover against the Dolphins. I think there's maybe some divisional stuff there. This just kind of screams to me maybe like a 17-point game. And I know that the Saints, last week against Seattle was a little bit fluky, and this is a ton of points to be taking. But give me Buffalo to cover that 15.5 point spread.
Buffalo for me.
Yeah, this was tough for me just because the number's so big. But I look at it, guys, and I'm sorry. There's nothing that gives me confidence about the Saints squad right now. They're not doing anything well that you can really hang your hat on. And Buffalo's a juggernaut. So as crazy as it is, I'm going to take the Bills and give that 15.5 to.
Too good offense.
I mean, yeah. Listen,
you can't keep up with that, right?
I don't think you can keep up with it.
It's what Breeze had mentioned yesterday, right, guys, that if the Saints can get some turnovers, maybe they can keep this thing close. But seeing how the Saints' defense has played this year, I don't really have much confidence that they'll be able to do that, at least get multiple turnovers against this really, really loaded Bills offense. Up next, guys, a really surprising game. The Ravens and the Chiefs, both 1-2 early on in the season. Two desperate squads looking to avoid that third loss in Week 4. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorites on the road in Kansas City. Bobby's got the Ravens -2.5, and it burned me last week, but I'm going back to the well. Give me Baltimore -2.5, picking up a nice win in Kansas City, kind of further burying the Chiefs a little bit here, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with that Ravens flock. The Chiefs don't look like themselves right now. I know they're going to be getting some weapons back soon, but I don't know. The Ravens playing great right now. The record's not indicative of what's going on. Unfortunate. Hopefully Derrick Henry can hold on to the ball here. But 2.5 in Kansas City, I'll take the Ravens.
Kansas City.
There it is.
I do think the Chiefs, I think this is a close game. It may end up being a field goal game, but, you know, they won so many close games last year, and now the Chiefs haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
They might win one here. You know, neither team is really overwhelming. Either one. The Ravens, they got blown out the park Monday night against Detroit. People don't want to talk about that, but that's the truth. The Lions ran them off the field physically. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Don't ask me why. I just gut feeling.
No, it's a good pick. I mean, you're getting points at home as well with this Kansas City team. It feels like Baltimore's run defense. What the heck has happened to them? I know that the Lions have kind of prided themselves on being able to run the football in their quote-unquote golden era of recent years, but they just annihilated. They almost embarrassed that Ravens team on Monday Night Football, which was, I think, the most shocking result of last weekend. Finally, guys, we're going with another primetime game. This one should be a lot of fun. The Packers, 6.5-point favorites at the Cowboys. Micah Parsons returned to Dallas. Bobby, of course, has picked the Packers in this game. I will follow suit. I think the Packers kind of got punched in the mouth this past weekend with that loss to, you know, the Browns. And I had just mentioned that the most embarrassing loss of the weekend might have been the Ravens. It actually was probably that Browns team going and hosting the Packers and taking them down this past week. The most shocking result of the weekend. But give me them bouncing back. I don't like the Cowboys defense at all. And I think the Browns defense is ferocious. So Jordan Love, Packers offense is a nice bounce back week. And you can kind of guarantee that Micah Parsons is going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder.
You mentioned it right there, Charlie. I'll take the angry Micah Parsons and a ticked off Packers squad after that terrible loss to the Browns. Think they'll bounce back big in Dallas.
Okay. Jordan Love got to get off the pot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because he did not play well last week in a game that they could have easily won. And that's nothing against the Browns. The Browns' defense is legit.
For sure.
They're really good. But offensively, you know, didn't take a lot of points to win that game. And he was awful in the second half of that football game. But in saying all that, man, Packers for me. I just think their defense. Give the ball to Josh Jacobs. Okay,
yes.
The football ain't that heavy. Run it against the Cowboys and do what you got to do. But this has got to be a game where Jordan Love's got to be able to bounce back because he did not look good in that second half against Cleveland.
Luckily for him, guys, he's not going against Myles Garrett. He's going against the Cowboys defensive front, which, I mean, kind of got torched this past weekend by a mediocre Bears offensive line. So I think he's going to be able to sit back in the pocket, be able to pick apart that that Cowboys defense. And even though it isn't Dallas, and that's a lot of points for a road team, this is a clean sweep. Everyone's taking the Packers here.
I was going to say, Charlie, we got two clean sweeps, one in college, one in NFL this week.
Yes, sir. We got LSU as a clean sweep, and the Packers as a clean sweep to round things out.
We are wrapping up our weekend kickoff edition of the Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill. Thursday Night Football coming up soon. We shall take a break. Return with even more right after this on WWL. Who dat, folks? We're back here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill for weekend kickoff. wrapping things up as we get ready for Thursday Night Football coming up 7 p.m. WWLAMFM.com in the Odyssey app. Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks, and NFC West Showdown. Looking at these two squads, should be a good matchup tonight to lead into Week 4 of action. Curious to see how Seattle now responds after that dominating performance against the Saints. Last week we saw Seattle take down the Saints with ease. In Arizona, obviously a divisional matchup, you think things are going to be a little bit tight this evening?
Oh, yeah, I think it'll be a tight game between the two. This game's going to come down to which quarterback doesn't make the big mistake. Sam Darnold and Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray, sometimes in a game, he looks good, bad, and in between all in one game.
That's
and sometimes all in one half.
Yeah.
Man, you know, and Sam Darnold is who he is. If you can move him off platform, okay, you got to move him off his launch pad. He's not the same player. The Saints couldn't do that. It was like you were watching a guy throwing skeleton drills last week. Can the Cardinals put pressure on Sam Darnold? Now, you know they're going to hit you with the running game. They love to run the football with Kenneth Walker. When Charbonnet's healthy, they'll do that. But, this is a tough game for Arizona. Really, really is. But they such an erratic team from week to week. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. I like Seattle. I don't love them, though. But I like them here against Arizona.
Looking at the rest of the NFC South, Mike, before we push out of here, you've got Tampa Bay hosting Philadelphia. Hopefully them Eagles can hand the Bucs their first loss of the year, even though it is in Tampa. That's going to be tough.
They have not played well.
Exactly.
In Florida, it doesn't matter who they play. They have not played well there in Baker. There is something about that. There's something about it. And I think what Drew Brees said is true. Their offense is very conservative. It's, you know, it's mundane to watch.
Right.
It wins. I don't give a damn about how it looks.
And I know they're down some wide receivers right now are hurt.
And they kind of beat up, and so is the Bucs. They lose Cody Mark at guard. Mike Evans is going to be out a few weeks. But that Abuka guy can play.
And
that rookie kid can play.
Real quick, Commanders at Falcons and also Panthers at New England.
Man, my thing is I'm pulling for the Commanders this week.
Amen.
I don't care if it's Mariota at quarterback or Jaden.
Just beat the Dirty Birds.
Just beat them. And, man, you talk about a team floundering. Right now it's the Falcons.
Right.
The Saints aren't good. The Falcons have spent a lot to try to rehab that team. I don't know about all that.
Been a great night, folks. Thanks for tuning in. For Mike Dettillier, Charlie Long, and Luke Augusta, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night. Who dat?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.